Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Touax Group conference call. I'll now hand over to Mr. Fabrice Valeschi, Managing Partner, and Mr. Thierry Schmidt de la Brie, Managing Director, Administration and Finance. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to everyone for this semi-annual presentation of the accounts of Touax. I will follow the PowerPoint presentation you normally received. On page four, we have an executive summary of these past 6 months. First, as a reminder, we did a strategic refocusing end of 2017, when we sold for 170 million euros one of our activity, which was the leasing and manufacturing of modular buildings. We now refocus our activities in the long-term leasing of transportation assets. In 2018, that was the first year of this refocusing strategy, and we did in priority the following actions. First, we launched a continuous improvement program. We developed a new fleet organization of the freight car activity to increase utilization rates. We raised 110 million euros in asset financing. We issued 16.6 million euros Euro PP. We syndicated 24 million euros of assets to third-party investors, and we kept those equipment under our management. And we signed also investment commitments from investors for $80 million. And we invested also 40 million euros in containers and 24 million euros in freight rail cars. So in 2019, the successful execution of this strategy is confirmed by the first half results. As you will see, and Thierry will describe that in more details, we have an EBITDA increasing by more than 25%, and the current operating income increasing by 31%. And also with all the financing we did, we could free 25 million euros. It was raised to do further investments. On page six, you have a good summary of the activities. So again, we have one business, which is operational leasing of transportation assets. And in fact, we have three asset classes, leasing of freight wagons, leasing of river barges, and leasing of sea containers. In total, the group manages 1.2 billion of assets, of which 446 million euros are owned by the group. We have 263 employees, and we are a fully international group, which is normal because all those assets are operated in many, many countries. In fact, even though the group is a French group listed on the Paris Stock Exchange, 97% of the revenues are outside France. They are quite big markets, as you can see here also. It's a total of $150 billion of assets in operation. $80 billion of containers worldwide, 15 billion euros of river barges, and 50 billion euros of rail cars in Europe. So no problem to have and do some growth in those businesses today. Page 7, you have the business model, which is summarized here. Again, the common point of those three asset classes is that they are highly standardized and mobile equipment. We don't invest in ships, we don't invest in airplanes or locomotives. Those three asset classes are highly standardized, no engine, and mobile. Of course, doing that means that we have a much better visibility on the residual values, and the remarketing risk is very low. We do lease those assets under long-term contracts, in average between 3 and 8 years, and all of them are long-term assets, rail cars and barges, 30 to 50 years, containers, it's a minimum of 15 years at sea, plus an additional 20 years when we sell them and they are used for as a storage facility. It means that on January 1st, 2019, 80% of the leasing revenues was already under contract when you compare it to the previous year. On page 8, you have a description of the three platforms. So Touax is one holding, and that holding owns 100% of each of its platforms. So three of them, you have Touax Rail, Touax Rail Limited is the dedicated holding managing the rail cars, close to 11,000 wagons, close to, in fact, a little bit more than 400 million euros under management, including 294 owned. The average age of the portfolio is young, 20 years, and it is a typical operating lease business. So we buy, we rent, and then we sell at the end of the economical life. That assets class or that activity represents 36% of the revenues of the group for this 6 months and 64% of the EBITDA. And as you see, it's mostly Europe. 95% of this activity is done in Europe and 5% in Asia. River barges, you have Touax River Barges at the name of the company, almost 100 million euros of assets, 98 barges. This is 9% of EBITDA, 7% of revenues, very similar business model than rail. We buy, we rent, and we sell after its economical life. And we have a young fleet of 13 years old. Containers, it's Touax Container Leasing, managing this activity. We have 450,000 containers. It's around 700 million euros under management. This is half of the revenues, but 24% of the EBITDA, because we own a smaller portion on our balance sheet. On page 9, you have another presentation per asset class of our fleet. Here you see the 10,973 wagons. We have, so it's a stable, quite stable compared to last year. But what you see, and this is quite significant, and it does explain, increase in lease revenues, you see that utilization rate went from 84.9% to 88.8%. And in fact, in June 2019, we were even at 89.1%. So definitely growing, the market is improving, and we have that good effect on the utilization rate. On the barges, you have a fleet of 98 barges, 51% Europe, 39% South America, North and South America. Utilization rate is quite stable, 89.7%, and again, the young fleet, 13.8 years old. For containers, you see the utilization rate is quite stable at a quite high level, close to 98%. What is interesting to see here is that the average leasing period is quite high and even increased from 6.5 years in average of long-term lease to 6.8 years. Page 12, you have the list of the customers. So again, in freight rail cars, the main customers are in three categories. You have the state-owned railways, including DB, Deutsche Bahn, so the German railways, SNCF, the French railways, SBB, the Swiss railways, Rail Cargo Austria, the Austrian railways, but we work also with similar companies in Italy, Belgium, Luxembourg, so in all the main countries. Then you have the category of the private rail operators. The market has been liberalized in 2007, so now you have private companies operating trains in Europe, including Hupac or Lineas and other companies. And then you have directly the industrial customers who are very happy to increase the traffic on rail compared to truck transportation. And in this case today, they can either buy wagons or rent wagons and then negotiate the traction with the rail operators. So we work with people like Volkswagen, BASF, Tata Steel, and many others. River barges, it's mostly industrial customers who are using river transportation to transport dry commodities. So, of course, ArcelorMittal, it will be mostly for iron ore, Bunge or ADM or Topfer for fertilizers or grain, Lafarge Holcim or Cemex for sand and gravel, and P&O Maritime Services mostly for containers and other dry products. And for containers, it's mostly the logistics companies, but they are today multinational, like Maersk Line, number one in the world, representing 10% of the GDP of Denmark. Quite amazing. You have MSC, number two in Switzerland, Costco in China, Oni in Japan, CMS CGM in France, etc., etc. And with all those customers, we have relationships since more than 10 years.
I will present now the first half results and profitability statement. The highlights in page 14 of this first slide is, as explained by Fabrice, the improvement in our operational profitability with an EBITDA increased by 25% to 16.1 million. A renewed confidence from the banks and the investors with the refinancing we've done and a solid tangible asset base. If we look at the improvement of operational profitability, we can see in freight rail cars an improvement in leasing revenues. This comes with an increase in utilization rate and an increase also in leasing price, so which is structurally positive because, you know, we sign long-term contracts, so we know that this will continue for the next 4 years. This improvement in revenue has been counterbalanced by an increase of revision cost. So we don't see an increase in the improvement of freight rail cars EBITDA, but we know that these revision costs are just an impact for a short term, because what has been revised today will not be revised tomorrow. For containers, we can see the increase. This increase is in EBITDA. It comes from two factors. One is the increase in investment of own assets. This is one of our strategy. We want to continue to increase the ownership, and especially in containers. This is what has been done, and then it gives more EBITDA. But also, we have the strategy to do trading and sell of containers. We know that we are managing also a lot of containers. Some of those containers are old containers. We have to sell them. It's normal. It's a normal cycle of activity, and this gives us a lot of commission. So to increase with a big increase in EBITDA. We have also something we never discuss or don't discuss a lot in the past, which is modular buildings activity in Africa. So you know that we have sold the modular buildings activity. However, we still have a small remaining activity in Africa. This was an activity we wanted to do a turnaround before selling it. So we are doing, and we will have done the turnaround, meaning that we will be positive this year. We doubled the revenue of sales in that activity for the first half, but it will be doubled also for all of the year because we signed a lot of orders, and we have made already an improvement in EBITDA of 0.6 million. Just to remind, it was a negative EBITDA last year of above 2 million, and will be positive EBITDA this year. So the turnaround is in progress. Confidence with banks and investors. We have raised new money, one to refinance the convertible bond, the ORNAN, but also raised cash for our new money, I mean new cash, to follow our investment program. So 40 million plus 10 million. The 10 million has been done just after the closing, so in end of July, beginning of August. We have continued to work with the investors and syndicated some containers to investors, 28 million invested by investors in the first half. And we continue to work on commitments with investors to continue to increase the fleet. We manage on behalf of management because, you know, this is part of our strategy and we want to continue to grow, part financed by the group, but also part financed by investors. This will give and continue to give us a solid tangible asset base on the balance sheet with a very low loan-to-value, which is at the time at 55%. Page 15, if we look at the detail of the profit and loss statement, we can see that we have an increase in revenues from activities. Leasing revenues increase a little bit, 1.2%. As I said, there is an increase in freight rail cars. River margins, it's a stable leasing revenues. And for containers, we have an increase, a sharp increase in revenue for own equipment as we have invested. It's plus 42%. But it has been offset by a decrease of leasing for equipment managed on behalf of third parties because we have sold some assets which were old containers managed on behalf of third parties. For the sales of equipment, we can see an increase, a sharp increase also. This comes from the trading activity and the commission and the sale of assets on behalf of third parties of containers, but also from the increase of the activity in Africa. Fees and syndication and other capital gain are more or less stable. The cost of sale of equipment is in parallel to the sales, so we have the increase in sales, so increase in cost of sale. Operating expenses and generally administrative expenses are decreasing, so we continue to work, and this is was a part of our strategy to rationalize the cost, and especially the corporate and administrative costs. So this is what we can see now in 2019. We've done this in 2018, and we can see this in 2019, but we continue to work on it. And the net distribution to investors is decreasing a little bit with the decrease of the fleet. So EBITDA is improving. There is a small impact of IFRS 16 in EBITDA. It's a 600K euro, which was before leasing cost, which is now in depreciation. So there is a small increase due to that change of regulation, IFRS 16. Current income is increasing, net operating income is increasing, the other operating income is in fact reclassified in earning from discontinued operation, so it has to be against the 521 in H1 2019. Financial results, so we can see that we have more financial expenses, much more than before. This comes from two facts. One is the increase in interest expense because we have invested. We have a little bit more debt, and because we have more debt, we have to pay more interest expense. So there is a small increase with interest expense. The second part is an exceptional foreign exchange loss of 1.2 million euro on intragroup loans in US dollar. So usually what we do, we offset this by an hedge. We have done an hedge on that intragroup loans. We work with Monex Europe Markets Limited, which is an English broker, which is authorized and regulated by the FCA in UK. However, the hedge is not working. So we today have a litigation with Monex in respect of this hedge, because it should have worked and it should have been hedged, this loss we should not have. So it's a very exceptional item, one-off item for sure we will not have anymore. So the group net income attributable to parents, to the group companies, is at 2.5 million euro negative compared to 1.8 million euro negative. So we can see that it's a higher loss. However, this comes from this exceptional foreign exchange loss. Just remind that in that loss, we still have the modular building activities in Africa we are turning around, which is negative, still negative at 400K, and we have the discontinued activities at 500K also, which is negative. Discontinuing activities is the last amount we will have because it's the adjustment of the price of the modular activities. We had a litigation on that and we work with an expert, so it's totally finished now. So it's the last amount last big amount we can see. If we look at page, so 16 is some details of the profit and loss statement. 17, you can see the breakdown of the EBITDA. And you can see the different increase or decrease with the divisions. So freight rail cars, a decrease of 1.2 million. This comes mostly, and we'll come back from the sale and seasonality of sales and syndication, because there is no decrease in leasing activity. River barges, this comes also from sales, the decrease of 1 million. Containers, so we can see here the big increase in containers by 3 million. And this comes from leasing and sales activity. Other is including the corporate activity and the modular building activity in Africa, as I said, so turning around in Africa, so we have 600K more EBITDA improvement, and we have a rationalization of costs, central costs. We have here 1 million of rationalization cost. Page 18, in detail for the freight rail car, leasing revenue up by 11.2%, higher utilization rate, a higher leasing price, so which is a positive structural effect. The decrease we can see by about 1.2 million in the EBITDA comes from the sales and syndication margin. In fact, there has been a very low volume of sales and syndication in the first half. We are working on syndication, which will should happen in November this year. This kind of seasonality we have here. The operating expenses, as I said, have increased mainly due to revision and repair costs, and this has offset the leasing revenue increase. Page 19, river barges, 1 million decrease. This 1 million decrease comes mainly from the lack of sales. In fact, there has been sales in the first half 2018. We don't have any barges who are at the age to be sold now, so we want to keep our assets to continue to lease. There was also a small impact of the activity in South America, with a low activity in South America in the first half 2019. This activity is picking up in the second half of this year. We see a small improvement in the leasing activity on the second half 2019. For containers, page 20, we see here the big improvement of the 3 million in containers EBITDA, so better margin rate. Better margin rate because we improve or because we invest in assets. We have invested about 33 million assets since the last 18 months, so since the beginning of 2018, when we relaunched a strategy to say that we'll reinvest in containers and in assets on the balance sheet of the group. We can see this improvement in leasing revenue, 42% improvement thanks to that investment, but also the development of the trading activity in new and used containers. Because in trading activity, we are also developing the new containers activity, where we purchase and sell new containers, but also the used containers, especially on behalf of third parties, where we earn fees. 3 million improvement. There has been a syndication, small syndication of 13,000 containers in the first half. We can switch to the balance sheet, page 22 and 23. You have the details of the balance sheet, the accounting balance sheet. You can see that we still have a lot of capitalized equipment. You can see a new category, which is utilization right and leasing liabilities. Utilization right is classified in other non-current assets. It's 16 million. This come from IFRS 16, and 10 million in leasing liabilities also come from IFRS 16. I will not detail the balance sheet. I will switch directly to the economical view of the balance sheet, page 24. If we look at the assets we own and the tangible assets we have, so we can see that we have in non-current assets and inventory, 378 million net book value of asset, out of which there is only 5 million goodwill. We are definitely a company that earn assets, tangible asset. We don't have any goodwill, and this is financed by debt and equity. The net debt is stable compared to December 2018. We can see that there has been an increase in cash, but also an increase in gross debt because we have refinanced just before the end of June the convertible bond, and we have reimbursed convertible bond at maturity, which was beginning of August, end of July. Working capital is negative, so the debt is only financing tangible assets and not working capital. Working capital is negative thanks to management on behalf of third parties. Page 25, details of the debt, so 255 gross debt, 196 net debt. So part of this is non-recourse, part of this is recourse. Recourse debt is 99, mostly corporate debt. This has increased a little bit because, it, as I said, we refinanced the convertible bond before June, and we have reimbursed after June, so that's why we have cash. The non-recourse debt, the 156, is mostly the asset-backed financing. We can see that we have 66% of debt, which is asset-backed, and 32% of debt, which is with capital market and investors. The cost of the debt today, on average, is 4.64%, little bit higher in US dollar, 5.16% US dollar, compared to 4.7 in euro. Euro is higher than it should have been because in all the corporate debt is in euro. So we know that corporate debt is always a little bit higher than asset-backed financing. So that's why we have this amount in euro, where in dollar it's only asset-backed financing. Page 26, we can see the debt maturity. So 2019, second half, we still have 24 million of debt that will mature, and it's the convertible bond that we have refinanced and reimbursed already. We can see that we still have a big program to refinance in 2020. This is normal for the company like us. We are usually refinancing, you know, every year, and we have a big program of refinancing. So 2019 was a corporate refinancing program. 2020 is an asset-backed finance to refinance. So we have 65 million euro of freight rail cars, balloon to refinance, and 31 million euro containers to refinance. And we have only a part of this because it's a revolving side we have to refinance in 2020. So we'll begin to work on that. Now for this refinancing, which will be between the first and the second half of 2020. What has been done in 2019, first half 2019 and until today, 40 million senior secured loan, 5 years with an institutional investors, partly to refinance the convertible bond, but partly as new money, 15 million euro net of fees, new money. And Euro PP, private placement of 10 million, we've done in August also, and also in new money, it's unsecured senior bond, 5.5 years, and also to finance the CAPEX, so to follow and to support our strategy to continue to invest in assets on the balance sheet. We also have work on a small refinancing of barges, with new financing of new barges also for 3.9 million and refinancing of existing barges for 2.9 million. This was done in February. Page 27, the credit profile, still a very good credit profile. So you can see that net gearing is a low compared to our peer, 1.54, and the LTV is also very low at 0.55. We can see a small increase in LTV coming because we have invested a little bit, but also it's an impact from the IFRS 16. Small impact, but 55% is very low for an asset-backed company. The interest coverage ratio is good at 3.003, so we have nothing to say on the ratios by the end of June, and we don't expect to have any issues by the end of the year. Page 28 is the cash flow statement. So as you remember, so we are lessor, so that means that all the purchase of the sale of assets are classified in operating activities. So that means that when the activities is good, we have less operating cash flow because we invest, where activity or leasing activity is at a lower level. Usually we have a higher cash flow because we do sales. So today we have done investment, and this is a strategy we want to continue. So you can see the operating activities which is increasing because the leasing activity and sales activity are increasing. So you have this 3 million increase, which is the 3 million increase in EBITDA. Working capital, this is just cut off, so seasonality. But the net purchase of equipment, you can see a big change in our big cost or our big expense in equipment because we have invested and paid a lot of equipment compared to the June 2018, so 23 million. That's why we have this operating activity cash flow, which is decreasing by 10 to 4 million. Investing activities, so it should be a small capital gain, but we don't invest, so invest is in operating activities, so it's normally zero. And financing activities, it comprised the new loan, which has been signed, the 40 million, and the debt repayment and the cost of debt. So that's why we have a positive amount, because we have a positive amount in cash, and we have refinanced the convertible bond before its maturity. For the asset management model, so this is really part of the strategy. We continue this model. So page 30, you can see the mix of the different activities. Today, we are managing mostly containers, 606 million of containers compared to 122 freightwell cars on behalf of third parties. That's where we'll have the most of sales, second-hand sales, for the future, and that's why we want to increase the ownership in containers, because we just own 71 million containers on historical gross value. So as a reminder, this is a very long-term management agreement, because it's a 12 to 15 years long-term agreement, and we don't guarantee any return on investors. That's why we sign long lease term contract with our customer, and then we can sell a portfolio and guarantee with that long term contract to the investor to have a good visibility, but there is no minimum return guaranteed. Page 31, so it's a different step in the asset management. So there is mostly three steps. The first is the initial syndication, so we purchase assets, we lease the assets, we build a portfolio, and we sell that portfolio to the investors. We earn a small syndication fee at that time. Then we manage on behalf of the investors, and we do this management for the 10 to 15 years of the asset management agreement. And at the end of the management agreement, we do second-hand sales. It could be during, but mostly at the end. And we earn marketing fees. So we have three, I would say, fees we can earn, which is a recurring activity and recurring asset management fees, which is the syndication fee, the management fee, and the marketing fee. The breakdown, so we've seen 1.2 million. The profile of the investors are diverse profile, family offices, financial companies, investment companies, corporates, so a lot of different people. They usually seek a diversification in strategy, of their strategy, recurring yields, so they want to have recurring yields, and they want to be backed by real and tangible assets with long useful life, so which is good in that model, is that in fact they can invest in assets that is backed by, because it's a real and tangible asset, and which give a small but a recurrent yield every year. So we are working today with an exclusive operating partner with a fund and two sub-funds, which is regulated by an AIFM in Luxembourg. It's an independent fund. One of the sub-fund is a TWAX Transportation Asset Income. This is a Euro sub-fund, mostly investing in freight rail cars, so nearly 3,500 freight rail cars already invested, which represent an amount of 150 million market value. And we have launched and we are working on increasing the share of this second sub-fund, which is the Asset Income US Dollar sub-fund. It was launched in 2018, and currently it owns $9 million equity. It's not financed today with 7,000 containers. We also work and continue to work with direct investment and manage accounts. In 2018, we signed contract for 80 million, of which 28 million was syndicated by the end of June. We currently continue to work and working on finalizing direct investment of 50 million euro in freight wagons. So just to conclude on that part of H1 result, we can say, as it has been presented by Fabrice, that in fact we are in the way of the execution of the new strategy we launched after we sold the modular building. And this is confirmed with the first half result, which showed the improvement of our profitability.
Thank you, Thierry. So we can now go to part three of the presentation, which is market outlook and strategy. On page 35, in fact, again, the three market sizes are presenting in average 150 billion euros of assets. And what we see is that the major economies, including Asia or emerging markets, continue to favor the growth of rail or transportation on rivers or combined transportation using containers. And there are two main reasons. The first one is that those means of transportation issue much less CO2 than road transportation. And as you know, this is extremely important for countries, including Europe, where we are for the railcar activity mostly. For example, 2 days ago, the new European leader, Ursula, confirmed that Europe will be a green Europe. And in fact, the European Investment Bank will create a climate bank to invest more than 1,000 billion euros in investments any investments which can, of course, help reducing CO2 emissions. So that's very positive for us. It means that there will be a lot of investments, in rail or to develop further transportation on rivers. You have also to know that the second reason is that transportation on rail or rivers, when they, our customers can use it, are much more secure and also much more economical when they are used on long distance. If you use rail cars or barges to do transport on more than 2,000 kilometers, it is between 5 and 20 times less expensive than road for example, dry products for the transportation of dry commodities. What we see also is definitely a growth in the share of the assets owned by leasing companies compared to the share of assets owned by the end users or by the states. And we will see that later in the statistics. But definitely our industrial customers, they want to increase their return on capital employed, and all assets which are considered as non-strategic assets are outsourced. And we also see structural demand to renew the fleet in operation. For example, even if the market is flat, for container transport, there is $4 billion to invest. So it's approximately 5% of the containers in operation have to be renewed annually. This is so 2.5 million TEUs, $4 billion. And for rail cars, we see today the volume of new rail cars built in Europe at the level of 11,000 Euro cars per year, which is approximately 1 billion per year. So when we do a focus of the market and then our strategy per asset class, for freight rail cars, what we see in Europe is definitely a growth, steady growth since 2013, in average 1.3% of the tons transported by rail. What we see, as I said, is an increase in new capex, new investments by the sector, from 7 to 11,000 rail cars per year. And also, as I said, an increase in the share of assets owned by the leasing companies. In the past 14 years, it grew from a 20% market share to 30% market share. As you know, in the US, it is close to 40% today. Asia, what we see on the market is definitely that the countries want to increase transportation on rail cars in order to avoid saturation on the roads. And there are a lot of new infrastructure projects, as you can see, especially on the Silk Roads between China and Europe. So they develop dedicated rail corridors to join China and Europe for to exchange products. But also in India, for example, they launched recently a new dedicated freight corridor named DFC with double stack trains, which will increase a lot the capacity to transport cargo on rail. So our ambitions on this market is for Europe, so continue to increase utilization rate of our fleet. Definitely the target is to be above 90%. We are very close to it because we are at 89% in June. And increase profitability. And of course, increase the fleet under management from 11,000 wagons to 15,000 wagons, 12,000 in Europe and 3,000 in Asia. In Asia, for example, we have today so 11 trains in operations, five ordered and to be delivered in the next weeks and months, and six more under discussion, which should be signed very quickly now. Outlook of the river barge activity. So in Europe, we see a growth of the market, especially for the transport of grain or biomass for the power plants. But there is also a demand for construction projects, including the one of Greater Paris, which is the largest infrastructure project at the moment in Europe. So, mainly for the transportation of sand and gravel to produce cement. So we are, definitely today buying new barges for those activities. In USA, we see a stable market, so we don't plan any investments. But all our barges are leased with a 100% utilization rate. And in South America, we see a gradual improvement on the market. In fact, almost all our barges are also leased, but there is no short-term demand for new barges, but at least an improvement, gradual improvement of the market. So TUAC's ambitions, definitely for the next year at least, is to continue, deliver additional barges, but mostly for Europe, and probably on the midterm we will do it also again in South America and North America. Page 38 for containers. So fleet of containers is 41.7 million end of 2018 in the world for annual replacement requirement of 5% per year, $4 billion. Definitely in 18 it was a strong growth, 4.3%, and definitely in 19 we see a slowdown of the growth. We don't know yet what will be the growth of the containerized trade, but probably between 2 and 3%. This is of course linked to the impact of the trade wars. What we see also that GDP growth forecast is 3.2%. This is the latest forecast of the IMF, but they also forecast an improvement in 2020 to go back to 3.5. As I said also, we see that the market is quite favorable for leasing companies, because even though there is the growth is lower, but our market share increased from 40 to 52% in the past decade. And also what we see on the market is, even though the growth is smaller, we still enjoy a high utilization rate of 98%. So it means no contraction of the traffic worldwide. And this is quite normal, because when you have less traffic between China and USA, in fact, you have much more traffic coming from South America or Inter-Asia, etc., etc. So what are our ambitions on this market? First, we have, since we sold the modular building activity, the strategy was to continue to reinvest on our balance sheet. Nothing very special, but it's to increase the ownership ratio from 8% to 20% in the next 3 years. This is exactly where we are. So today we are at 10% ownership ratio. And as you saw, it has a significant impact, positive impact on EBITDA, which increased from 0.8 million euros to 3.8 million euros just in a semester. What we will continue to do as a strategy is also develop, of course, the management activity in association with third-party investors. So we'll continue to grow the fleet, financed also by third-party investors. We will develop also the trading activities. As you know, leasing company is very, its main activity is buying, renting, and selling second-hand assets. But we decided to add to the trading of second-hand containers, the activity of trading new containers. Our platform, with its 200 depots worldwide and network, can easily manage this, and it was a very good decision because we will double this year the volume of containers, new containers traded. We will develop also leasing of not only dry containers, but also reefer containers. We are already active doing that. To summarize, page 39, so again, TWAX is one platform, operating platform, to manage those 1.2 billion euros of assets. To increase profitability, we have launched that CIP program, so continuous improvement program. Many of you know, very often we have the questions, but what are the impacts? You have you started to do it, you know, 1 year ago. In fact, the impacts are very positive for African activity, because without it, it would have been very difficult to double the revenue of that modular activity in Africa. And also for rail cars, we want to do cost savings. The target is to reduce the time we spent to do the maintenance of the wagons, and of course increase availability of the rail cars and therefore of the lease revenues. And we have a target to do 1 to 2 million euros of savings here. New organization of the fleet management of the rail car activity was implemented. And also, as you saw, we did optimize the cost of the platform. We reduced in this first half of the year the SG&A by 1 million euros. Freight rail cars, the strategy, so as I said, is definitely to grow the fleet and the management in Europe and Asia, using balance sheet, the balance sheet of TWAX, but also using infrastructure funds money or third-party investors money in association with our capital. And also increase, again, higher the utilization rate and rental rate on the existing fleet. Barges, growing the platform with in short-term selective investment in Europe. And containers, definitely increase the trading activities of new and second-hand containers. And, do new investments with a larger portion of owned assets to boost profitability. Model building activity, the forecasts and the strategy is definitely to be EBITDA positive in 2019, where we should be based on the large contract we signed, especially in the education sector, in the first semester. Okay, and now page 40, this is for the shareholders. We decided, when we did simplify our business model, towards operating lease of standardized assets, we could be compared with a REIT, real estate income fund, but here it's more like a real asset income fund, so we have the income coming from the leasing, but the balance sheet, as Thierry said, is more than 95% composed of tangible assets. So with such a strategy, we had a lot of questions on, but what is the value of those assets? We know the net book value on your books, but of course, it's not, the fair market value. Could you tell us the fair market value? So we decided to do it, as you know, end of last year, end of 2018. It was announced in March 19. We will do it every year now for you. And here you have the description of the fair market value per asset class. You can see the details. Don't hesitate to ask questions. But there's when you calculate the NAV, per share, it's 12.7 euros per share. Some data on the stock exchange, page 41. So there are 7 million shares on the market. And something interesting to see here is that if you look only to the book price, so the net depreciated value of those assets we own on the balance sheet, divided by the number of shares, in fact, the book price per share is 7.4 euros. Page 42, so as a conclusion, We see definitely that the growth is, of the GDP worldwide is lower compared to last year. Forecasts for next year are not that bad. Again, IMF is forecasting probably a slight increase of GDP. But in any case, because of the markets where we are, where we see a structural growth and also a lot of demand to renew the fleets, we are in a position to gradually increase our profitability by rebuilding our own asset base. Thank you very much. So now I turn to you if you want to ask questions. You can do it now or if you want to call us after this call.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press 01 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, you may press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no questions, sir.
Okay. So again, you can don't hesitate to send emails to us with questions if you have, or call us afterwards, as many do. Thank you again, and talk to you very soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.